get this technology going. And welcome again, brethren. And thank you, Brother Sean, for your sermonette. And happy to see everyone here today. It's always good to be in God's house on the Sabbath. It's not just a matter of being in church, it's a matter of being in God's presence and actually walking in obedience to God while we're here. I want to also welcome those who are joining us on the internet, and to hope that today we'll be able to share with you a message that can help to strengthen your walk if your real intention is to walk with Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the experience, but trying to grow a plant in a soil that is not really good soil. Sometimes we are living in an area where, you know, the soil is a bit rocky, or it is too clammy, it's too much clay. And but you nonetheless love your gardening, and you try to, you know, put your plants there. But you find that no matter how much water you try to give it, you make sure it gets enough sunlight. You try to till up as much earth around it. It really still dies. It doesn't survive, and that can be very frustrating. But it dies because it's just not in the right soil. And Jesus taught us some very powerful lessons, very important lessons, in relation to the plant, the seed, and the soil. How, you know, the kind of soil matters. And as we go through this parable today, which is what we have on the board, the parable of the sower and the seeds, I would like for us to think about personally, very individually, what kind of soil am I? How do I blend? Where would I rate myself? Where would I rank myself in terms of the soil? Because although the parable, you know, the title of the sermon is the parable of the sower and the seeds, it really could have been, and probably might have been, a better title to say the parable of the soils, the four soils. Mm-hmm. Why? Because in the parable, the sower remains constant. Yeah. All the way. It's the same sower. The seeds, it's the same seed all the way. So it's the same sower throwing the same seed. What is different are the different types of soils. So the emphasis, the real meaning of the parable is rooted in the fact that there are different soils in which the seeds are thrown, the same sower sowing it, but it just happens to go in different types of soils. And that is what determines the outcome. The outcome is determined by the soil. And therefore, what we will get from this parable is that a man's reception or a woman's reception of God's word is determined really by the condition of the person's heart. The soil represents the individual's heart, as we will see from the parable. In fact, there's a way in which you could actually regard the parable as four, rather than four types of soil. You could say four types of hearts, where you have a hardened heart. That would represent the first soil, as we will see. Or you're shallow-hearted, there's no depth. Or you're just half-hearted, you're not fully into it, you're partially there. or you're wholehearted, meaning all of you is really involved. So that's another way of looking at this parable. Now, you heard the passage was read ahead of the sermon, and so let us look at the go back there for me to Matthew 13, and we will look first at verse 3. It says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it." So the path is referring to the area people walk on, like the road. And over a long period of time, it gets hardened. It becomes tough because this is where people walk. And so there's no seeping in. It becomes pretty much a surface like when you have the road paved. And so the idea for the soil to find any entry into the earth becomes very difficult. Jesus explains that. If you look in verse 19, it explains verse 3. Verse 19 says, "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not." So the seed represents the word of the kingdom, which is the gospel of the kingdom of God. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, meaning it has not gone beyond the surface, the person has not been able to contemplate it, to digest it. It says, "Then comes the wicked one," because it is out there. It is very available. "Then comes the wicked one," which remains Satan, and catches or snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is which this is the seed which was received at the wayside. There are many, many such circumstances. In fact, if you look at verse 13 of Matthew 13, Jesus made a kind of poetry, but it's taken out of the book of Isaiah, and it says, "Though seeing, they do not see." There's a way in which you have seen, but you have not seen. I have that difficulty literally, where someone will have come into the room in which I was and went out, and someone may say, "Do you know what the person is wearing? What color?" And I know, you know, I saw it, but I did not really take any note, any key note of it, to be able to say what the person was wearing. In terms of, you know, if there was some investigation, yeah. Right? "Though hearing, they do not hear or understand." That is a possibility. And that is really what that seed, which is on the surface, which is on the way where people walk, that's what it amounts to. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah," right? Jesus giving this. And he says, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become so calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." So there is a responsibility that is being placed upon the person. When the seed or the gospel, the word of God, has come to them. And there are some folks, they are locked off. They are so locked off that you can talk from now until midnight. They'll be there, but they will not even, you know, consider. Why? Because you have already made up your mind. And this is a kind of soil. This is a kind of soil that will be able to hear everything but still has not heard, because the real hearing is when we have contemplated, we have considered, we have analyzed, we have thought about, we have meditated, and therefore we are able to get the benefit of this seed. So Jesus is saying, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then comes the wicked one. So it's not the wicked one who has begun this problem. It is the person who was heard but has not made use of it. Now, you may say that, is it not true that it is God who opens the heart? Therefore, it's just not that the person is not being called. That is a part of it. But there are nonetheless people who are given the opportunity for the calling, but their allegiance, their history, their worldview has created a barrier between them and the word that is being taught. The hardened heart, the Bible speaks about it, where it speaks about the callousness of the heart. It's like, you know, someone who has some kind of issue where you know your feeling is gone. You know, when you get certain injections of anesthesia or so, you can be feeling and touching, but you know it's not going through. There, it is possible for that to happen, and so this is something where the scriptures are bringing to our attention that this is something that we must be aware of. Sometimes we are in church so long that we feel that, okay, I know it already. I know it all. And so I don't need to pay the kind of attention that many others are called or want to pay. They are not in that kind of frame of mind. They find themselves more in a situation where they see themselves as senior, or they have grown, and therefore they do not need this sort of help. But we must remember that when the word of God is being administered to us, it is the word, it is divine, it is powerful, and we must take it seriously. The word of God is, the Bible says, like a double-edged sword. You know, it pierces through, you know, the bone and the marrow. It really is deep. And so we have to take the word of God very seriously. So you would see, for example, where the apostle Paul, it says that the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit because they are foolishness to him. The same thing that you would take and you say, wow, that makes a lot of sense. You never thought about it that way. Another person is sitting there and they're saying, what? What do you say that you're so excited about? Why? Because the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are like foolishness to him. The person with the Spirit of God is more inclined to get a perspective that, you know, some would not get. 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, it says, if any man think that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet, as he ought to know. Because the fact is that sometimes we think that we know a lot, when in fact we really need to dispose ourselves. And what really makes that happen is humility. That is really what works. Or attitude must be like that of, say, Job. If you look at Job 34, 32, you don't necessarily have to turn there. I read it for you. It's just a single line. It says, that which I see not, teach me. In other words, there are some times when I am not seeing, and I need to ask God to open my eyes that I may see. These are very important things to know about ourselves, that our human frame, or carnal nature, or natural nature, it does not love the things of God, nor can it. And if we are not sufficiently conscious, we may very well think that we have done well, when we really have not. In Psalms 29, verse 9, it says, the meek will he teach his way. Because there's a certain kind of a heart, a certain kind of attitude that God will work with. He is not into, into forcing people. He is not into working with the proud. God really wants to work with people who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. People who are seeking first the kingdom of God as their priority in their life. That is where God meets you. He meets you because you are seeking after him. He says you receive not because you ask not. There is a responsibility on the part of the person who is hearing God's word to really have a particular kind of attitude, a particular kind of disposition to benefit from that word. So we go to verse 5. We are in Matthew 13, and we are dealing with the parable of the sower, and we spoke about the fact that although it's called the parable of the sower and the seeds, really the emphasis of the parable is not so much on the sower and the seed, because the sower and the seed is constant. It's the same sower, it's the same seeds. What is different is the soil that receives it. And so we are looking at how the difference in the soil makes all the difference in the world. So the next type of soil, type 2, is in verse 5. It says, some fell on stony places where they had not much earth. So there was earth there, but it was a lot of stones. And forthwith they sprang up, because they had no deepness of earth. So they reacted. The enemy didn't come and snatch them away. They germinated. But here it is that it was shallow. Here it is that it was just some soil, maybe an inch or so thick. And as soon as it needs to go down into the earth with roots, it's blocked. Stones are there. And so it says, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they did not have the substance to cause them to grow and to develop the resistance or the resilience to be able to survive. And so they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. That's a different kind of a person. So we are saying that in looking at these, we are asking ourselves, which of these soils, if I must honestly gauge myself, if I must honestly assess myself, which of these soil am I, represent me? This is the one that you have gone and you've heard the word of God, and it has taken some effect, because you say, oh, this is something good, it's worth it. But we do not pursue it. It's just for the moment. And we go about our business and we forgot, we have not even gone to do some research. We have not gone to ask anyone else. We have not gone into any fellowship. We just simply listened and say, hey, yeah, that was good. I enjoy that. But I have not gone about my business. Everything is back to normal. The explanation is in verse 20. Look in verse 20 of the same chapter 13. The explanation for this one is in verse 20. It says, the seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. Gosh, I love it. Man, that was good. And you come over, and you say, man, this was good. I enjoyed the teaching, the Bible study or the sermon and so on. And you receive with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. Many folks come in to the church, and shortly they're no longer in. And it's not because they didn't like what they heard. It's just that they did not make the best use of it. That is the difference. It's just that they did not grow any roots as a result of it. There was no growth. There was no, sustained impact that it had. So, when trouble, it says, or persecutions come because of the word, they quickly fall away. Because, you know, we spoke this morning about Adan Muhammad in Kenya. This is a guy with roots. This is a guy who, no matter what was happening, he stood the way all the way. This is someone who heard the word, it struck him, and it was a pearl of great price. And he really took it, hid it, went and sold everything that he had, came back and bought it, and treasured it, and allow whatever else he had. That is not anymore his priority. His priority became the word. This is not the case with the one that fell up on the rocky soil. The person had some semblance of interest, some semblance of benefit, some semblance of recognition that this was of value, but the person did not make good use of it. And the question is, how does one make good use of the things that we get from the Word of God? We must meditate on it. We must go back. The Bible gives us an example of the Bereans. The Bereans were a more noble people. They searched the scriptures to see whether these things are so. That's the value. This is not a Berean. This was a person who did not get any depth. And so it is really not just the rocks that you hit upon, but it is the fact that you have not sought to go beyond and to find more soil, more fertility, in order to encourage the growth. It's a lack of depth that person came into. And so many times persons, their emotions have been moved, but their conscience, cognitively, they remain the same. They are not. Be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. There has to be an impact upon the mind. There has to be a preoccupation where after you've heard a thing, although you are taking the bus home or the train home or you're driving, while you are there, your mind is still working on it. It's just like when you eat something. Even after you've eaten, you're finished eating, but the body continues to work on it, to digest it, to assimilate, to utilize the nutrients. And that is what must happen when we get the Word of God. It must go beyond the moment that we receive it. It must have the impact. We must utilize it. And so that joy was an emotional response, which is okay. God gives us emotions, and emotions are good. We must use them to the glory of God. But we cannot stop at that point. Because when we stop at the level of the emotion, then there's no transformation. It has not impacted our lives in any way. And nowadays, the world is moving so fast. People are so connected to everything that is out there. In fact, sometimes we're in church, but our minds are out there, pretty occupied. Sometimes we're in church, but, you know, although we have our Bibles on our phones, it's not the Bible we're looking at. We're looking at something that is unrelated. So we are not really getting the benefit of what is being what is there. Yes, when it comes to singing, we are into it. We're into the singing and so on, everything. But when it comes to the word, you know, we don't pay as much attention to it. We enjoy part of church, not all of it, in that sense. And we think that, well, that is okay. We sometimes are satisfied that at least my conscience is free. I went to church. You know? And we just did that in order to appease ourselves. So I don't feel badly because I have been to church. But having been to church, so I'll put that aside. Let me, I go on to do everything else. You know? And when I speak about that, I'm speaking about all of us. All of us have those tendencies. What we must do is learn that they are there and learn to work against them. Because the flesh is one thing. Even the Apostle Paul, he spoke about how he had to struggle with the flesh. He said, there's a law of my flesh and a law of my mind. And I find that the law of my flesh works against the law of my mind. The law of the spirit and the flesh, they struggle against each other. And the things I want to do, I find myself not doing them. The things I don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing. And he would say, what a wretched person I am. He had to call upon God to help him, to deliver him. So we have to understand this other condition. So that's the second soil, the second level of the soil that we're dealing with. And we have to, you know, maybe we can say, I know somebody like that. It's not me. That is probably what we're saying. But, you know, think about it. Because what you want to make sure is that even if I say it is not me, the thing is, it is really not what I am saying. It's what God knows. It's really what God knows. And therefore, is it really the other person and not me? Then comes verse 7, the third. This one now is the thorny ground soil, you know, and what I call the half-hearted. So you have the hard-hearted, which was the first one, first soil. The second one would have been the shallow-hearted. It is very shallow. It doesn't have any deep depth. And this one now is half-hearted. So let's read about this one. That is the thorny ground. Here it is. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. The explanation is in verse 22. It says, He also that received seed among the thorns is he that hears the word. This is how it's different now from the one before. Remember, the one received it and received the joy, but there was no roots. So this one now, he hears the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. What it means is that this person is one foot in and one foot out. This person is probably someone who is, very, maybe an executive, a business kind of a person, or someone with many other obligations, is very, very well, doesn't necessarily, he's not looking for anything. Don't come to church to he's very self-sufficient, you would call yourself, okay? And this person is there, but the person believes that he can run two worlds at the same time. Yeah. So I can do church, and I can also do the other thing. And you're doing both, but the fact is that your priority is not defined. What happens here is that there is a duality here. You have your mind in two places. So this one is half-hearted. Half of you in the church, half of you outside the church. In fact, when you meet with people and you tell them that you're in church, they say, really? You belong to church? Because they know you in another way. They never thought of you as being in church. Because that other half is what they know. You know, the people at church, they know you. Oh, this is my church brother, this is my church sister. You know, they know you. That half is known by a set of people. There's another half that is out there. And so you are doing all these other things, and it says the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, because your aspiration for wealth is as big as your aspiration for God. And you find that they are conflicting with each other. And at some point, one is going to, you know, seemingly overtake the other. Unfortunately, because of our carnal nature, we are more inclined to be overtaken by the physical, temporal, material things, not by the spiritual. And so, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life are issues for all of us. All of us, there are our feelings demand certain things. And when, look, I can't talk to you now. I'm not in the mood to talk to you right now. Why? Because there are certain feelings going through. And I said, no, I'm hungry. I can't even think. I can't even read. The hunger. Until I satisfy the hunger, I can't go and read. I can't even go and pray. I have to attend to item number one, which is the hunger I'm feeling, before I can do that. I can't do any favors or anything. The flesh demands that I satisfy the hunger. The pride of life. We all want to be acknowledged. We all want to be considered somebody. And the somebody has to be, you are trying to be get the approval of people. And these people are people who are not necessarily in the church. When indeed the approval we should seek is God's approval. And when God approves us, the world is not necessarily going to approve us. Because we're going in a different direction from what the world would like to see. And therefore, that becomes the issue with this kind of soil. This kind of soil is a kind of soil that goes to church regularly. This kind of a soil is one in which the person is quite sensible and intelligent and can argue, maybe tell you and make reference to scripture, know the scripture, and can defend doctrine. But these things are more intellectual. They are not what possesses the person's wholeness. They are part of the person's way of life, not the full life. And so the idea is that because we are half-hearted, we are not really fully into what we are about, and Satan gets opportunity. Satan has opportunity because of our own desires. If we don't change, radically change our lives, we are so hateful of the materialistic world. We hate it. We see it as against our best interest. It is not what makes us into what we want to become. If it is not very secondary, then I only eat because I have to survive. But I'm not going to go run away from God's business to run after the food. I'm not going to cause this to pull me away from, you know. I have to have my priorities set. And this is really what we're talking about here. And it is something that we all struggle with. It's not something that we deliberately do. It is something that it is our default setting. We have to work against it. It is already there. We have to work against it. What is not already there is the Spirit of God. That's what we have to fan a flame and allow the Spirit to become the bigger power and authority in our lives, that we can submit to God's way. So we move to verse 8, which is the fourth type of soil. And this one is a wholehearted. The person who, this is what life is about for them. This is what they dream about. This is what they think about. This is what makes them happy. When they are not getting enough of God's word, they begin to feel very sad. They feel something is missing. In other words, they can't wait for the Sabbath to come. They're looking forward to it. During the other 6 days, it is just working towards the Sabbath. They're just waiting for the days to go by. Waiting for the Sabbath to come. That is the preoccupied person who is preoccupied with God's way. So verse 8 says, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. And the explanation for that is verse 23. Verse 23. He that received seed into the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth, meaning it is bringing forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30-fold. There's an explanation for that, which I won't get into. Now, what I want to focus on here is the word understanding. Church nowadays is all about feeling, you know. Church nowadays is who can make the most this, and you know, if pastor's not telling you how you can, you know, get your more money, you know, the health and wealth, teaching and preaching. Not about understanding the word, about feeling, about benefit. You know, God told me last night that this is what I'm going to do for you. I got a dream last night, and this is what the Lord tell me. God is going to make 5 million years out of this church. The first five people that run up here, you know, are going to be millionaires. And you see people running down the aisle, running up to the altar. All kinds of gimmicks going on in the name of God. What God wants us to do, that is why in the church, when you come here, you are into study. You're into digging into the word. You're here into uncovering. Because the word of God is written in a manner that it is not understood by the human carnal mind by itself. The word of God is spirit. And this word can only be understood when the Spirit of God is dominant in our minds, in our lives. And God opens up the word to us. This is the kind of a person who, when the person hears something from the word, the person continues to meditate upon it. The person continues to ask questions to get clarification. The person goes and starts to read a little bit more about it. The person tries to get understanding. And that is really where the essence of Christianity. Most of the Christianity that you see, you know, ritual. Take Lord's Supper. You know, do this, do that. Ritual. Or feeling. What you really need is to get close to God. To get close to His Word. To understand that the Word of God is food. And in as much as you eat physical food and you have to chew on it, then when you swallow it, it begins a process of impacting, by strengthening, by building cells and growing, causing you to grow. The Word of God must have that effect upon the person who wants to be a true serious Christian. That is really how the Word of God works in a Christian's life. So it must be noted that in defining this, the various types of soil, what Christ is bringing out is to show us that although the word is spread, it is the receipt of it that matters, and that we must check on what is the nature of the soil that we are, what category do we fall in? How much does it matter to us? How much is the Word of God everything to us? That of all the things that I would want, how much is it not just a convenience? How much it is something that I spend time trying to understand? How much I see it as my future? I see it as the most important thing in my life. Honesty is the best way to approach this. And if we are honest, then we will very much inform ourselves. And what it means is that if we are not that excited, if we are not that dedicated to the Word of God, there's time to do it. There's a way to change and to be transformed and to make it happen. And that is why God has given us some words that we must be watchful. Watchful is not just watching out there. Watching is watching ourselves. We must be watchful of ourselves. Return to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. And it tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You are the target. I am the target. When you say be watchful, watch out, because the enemy is coming for you. Resist him. There is work we have to do. Resist him. Stand fast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Knowing that church is not an easy place to be. Knowing that to be a Christian is not a bed of roses. Knowing that the story that we spoke about earlier, about the young man who they are seeking after to kill because he is serving Jesus Christ. That's all the wrong he's doing. He's serving Jesus Christ. And they're after him to kill him. Resist him. That's my job. That's your job. Steadfast in the faith. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's why we need each other. The idea of Aaron Sharm Aaron that Brother Sean was talking about in his is a very key understanding that we need to have among ourselves, that none of us really has it all. None of us know everything. And the sharpening of each other, where we must seek after. That is why idle talk is not the way. The things we must talk about are things that help us to grow, help us to be strengthened, and help us along the way. Because there's real danger in the world. And if we ignore these things, we become more prone to be overtaken by the danger, Satan's work, who is seeking to destroy us, and so on. So, the watchfulness is a personal watchfulness. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. We're coming down. It says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. Because there are some who says, okay, yeah, I hear you. You know, you don't know me. I mean, I am so-and-so, and I am, you know, so, but I know, you know, there are some weak people around the place, and you're talking to them. But that's not true. Because it is the very person who is thinking that he is strong who is in trouble. Let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he falls. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. That is a very important point, you know. We should not yield to temptation. You know why? No temptation that comes to us is bigger than we can manage. God himself makes sure that that is so. So that there is no excuse. What it means is that we are shallow. We don't have the depth to manage it. Because we are not managing and living the life the way we ought to live it. That is the issue. And so it says, but with the temptation, he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So God says, look, the temptation, I'm allowing it to happen. But you know what? I'm going to give you the tools. I'm going to give you the abilities. I'm going to give you the technique, the know-how, the support, the people around you. I'm going to give you all of that. So the temptation is not more than you can manage. And once you are in that position, you should be the winner all the time. You should be the winner all the time. Hence, 1 Corinthians, it continues, it says, watch and stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. That is there. And if you look in Colossians 4 and verse 2, Paul again exhorting, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, of course, praying for the rest of the saints. So, the idea of us surviving of Christians is really the issue here. And our survival is dependent on what kind of soil we are. Is the Word of God taking effect in your life? Can you and I say that, you know what? When I check out myself as against last year at this time, last year November, I know I am a firmer, stronger, more directed Christian. I am standing on a stronger ground because I am utilizing, I am growing. If that is not happening, The word of Jesus in Luke 21:34 is what we close with. He says, take heed to yourself, lest your heart be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, the cares of life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. Because if we are into this kind of a mood, then it's going to be unexpected. Which means we are not prepared. We thought we could do and get away with. So let it be that we all are taking heed and ensuring that we are growing and that we can manifest the fruits that God wants us to do. We have the Word of God, we have the Spirit of God, the teachings of Jesus Christ and the apostles, the prophets. All these things were written for those of us upon whom the end of the age has come. No excuse. Let us walk boldly. Let us go forward in faith in Jesus Christ. Because the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much, Pastor. I'd just like to